well and desire your prayers. Been thinking recently of how dark the world seems to be getting. I don't think the world knows that, but as I look at things going on around me, live some time now, kind of things gradually happening, you can get numb to it. But think about the movements that's going on in the world today and how people are starting to think and act and respond to things. Well, first of all, want to say that we're taught by the Lord to love all people. We do. We love everybody. We want the ultimate for everybody. And wish everybody could live a peaceful, hopeful, joyous, rich, prosperous life here and get to go to heaven when they die. We want it for all people. But sin corrupts things. Sin makes bad life, bad living. It causes heartache and sorrow. We're also taught in the scriptures of that fact, that it never works. It's selfish and brings bad things in people's lives. Well, our modern world and its movements, one of them I think about is the same-sex marriage. I hate to talk about these kind of things, but about have to these days. Marriage. The world's been around and men's been on the world for a long time now. And it's been a well-established fact what marriage has been for thousands of years. Thousands of years. Now, the devil's been the devil, and sin, and the passions of men have been around as long as men have. But I don't know of any time in history that people ever got so dark, so misunderstanding of what truth and light is, that they've actually come to the point that they make these kind of arguments. It's beyond our understanding almost to understand where people's minds are starting to go. And it's okay, it's all this. Well, it's darkness is what my point is today. And I look at it and I'm saddened by the movements and the way people are thinking and those kind of things. And I hear regular news. I keep up with the news. And all how often I want to just say, because I do care about people, I want to make statements sometime to them. You remember the case that was some time back of a young man, I think it was down in Florida maybe, Trayvon Martin. Remember that case? It was a widespread case. It was really publicized. A young man got killed. Now there's one in St. Louis, Ferguson, Missouri. Another case. You know, I would like to just be able to say to the whole nation, just stop and listen a little bit. I would like to be the spokesman for some of these, because the spokesmen, they don't have it right. The one that's speaking, they don't have it right. They're fighting for the exterior things. But you know the bottom line of those two cases is that there's young men that are dead? I'd like to stress that point to them and say, stop all the other peripherals here and think about something. You're dead. Stop the lifestyle. Stop the sin. Stop the attacks. Stop the, oh yeah, well this murder, this shouldn't have happened. Yeah, I agree with all that. But you go out there and put yourself in that situation, you're going to die. So this one didn't kill you, the next one will. If this police officer don't shoot you, the next one will. Or the next gang member is going to get you. Or the next drug overdose is going to get you. Something's going to get you. And have you heard that? They're battling over these things that don't matter, because the truth of it is, hundreds of young men are going to die. And nobody's enlightened enough to say, you need to stop. You need to stop. There's also in the news about a race car driver. He's a famous race car driver. He ran over a guy on the track. And there's this debate and about what he is and should he be held responsible. And I've heard him say, did he do it on purpose or didn't do it on purpose? Can I tell you all something, whether it's in a racetrack or if it's out here in public, you get out in anger and jump out in the middle of the road, you might get run over. Nobody, I haven't heard one person comment on the fact that the guy should have stayed in his car, because if you get out in an angry fit, you might die. All the spokesmen are all wrong. The darkness is pervading, and common sense and reason that we used to be proud of, or say this is what all of us should have at least a dose of. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to be a somebody of great, but you ought to have enough common sense to stay out of the road. Don't jump in a police car attacking an officer. Don't jump onto a guy out in the street that's got a gun. There ought to be enough common sense to keep you alive. But the darkness seems to be prevailing. And my thought today is, Lord, help us, because we're going to have to deal with a world that's getting darker all the time. Our late United States Senator made the comment when they was having a... Robert Byrd made a comment on the Senate floor about same-sex marriage. He said, I never thought the day would come that we would have to debate something like this on the Senate floor. I never agreed with the man hardly in anything he ever said. But I agreed with that. I agreed with that. But a darkness is coming over the world. I'd like to look at a scripture in the 18th Psalm. This scripture caught my attention. This is a simple passage. It's 18, Psalms 18 and 28 says, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will lighten my darkness. For thou wilt light my candle. You know, we need our candle lit. I know that it means understanding. Because we're talking about darkness and we're talking about being able to see. To see the things around us. But I'm thinking today that the Lord's mind here in this psalm was much more than that. If you can think of the opposite of darkness, total darkness, how would you like to live in darkness? Naturally speaking, total darkness. From right now, the light goes out. Now think about it. The light goes out. Well, it's daytime. But that light goes out too. All of a sudden, it's darkness. You know, we'd have to grope around, wouldn't we? Well, I know this place pretty well. I know that if I get down and go around here and film away, I can get out the door. I generally always park the van when we come to service, same spot right there, so I could probably feel for the van. But you know, keeping it on the road, if my lights don't come on, it's dark, there's going to be a lot of groping. Well, I could feel my way up the edge. Every time I heard gravels, if I pulled back on, maybe I could get up. I could make it to the house maybe with the van. I don't know. That'd be a trek though. Darkness. It says the Lord lights my candle. But you know, there's a lot more to darkness than just not being able to see. Gloom. Hopelessness. All of those things that go along with darkness. And the idea of the Lord lights my candle speaks more than just being able to see. It speaks of what it feels like for you all get into my world a little bit, my thinking, what it feels like to have a cold winter afternoon here and have a fire in my fireplace as the snow flakes starts falling or the sleet starts falling or it's raining turning to snow. It's just Billy Jean, you know what I'm talking about. The warmth of the fire starts coming out, the glow of the fire, the heat, the warmth, the light. The feeling of well-being that comes over us, the sense of I'm not in the weather, the sense of my life is well. You know what I mean? You ever had that sense of all's well with me? Around me all's well. It's warm, it's comfortable, it's cozy. The sense of well-being that we need to keep us sane, keep us right, to keep us happy. Really, it's more than all these other things you get in the world. It's a sense of well-being. This scripture says, the Lord lights my candle. You know, we need our candle lit. From the Lord, it speaks of grace. It speaks of an ability to understand and know what to do. It speaks of things like I was trying to bring out in my feeble way about the news of the day and how they've got it all wrong. You know, they will never solve those problems because they don't know what to them. The fact that someone gets shot, that the person shouldn't shoot him because he shouldn't own a gun. That'll solve all of our woes. Take the guns away. And that's the way they think. That'll solve all of our problems. But I'm going to tell you, it'd be better to light your candle. It would be better than light your candle than take their guns away. Then they wouldn't want to be shooting somebody. Then there wouldn't be no need to shoot somebody. Because their candle's lit. And they got something, and it's better than that. Lord, help us. It goes beyond. So we're not out there doing those kind of things. I'm going to say today, though, it still comes down to our world. We'll say sometimes, it's my wife's fault. Do you know, it's just like the guy that jumps out the car and gets run over. I'll do something, then it's her fault that she did. Or it's her fault. No. We need our candle lit. We need the Lord to enlighten our lives to what right actions is, what grace is, what living for God really is, what loving my neighbor really is, all of those things, what it really is. I'm not looking for the world to light the whole world's candles because they don't want to be lit. But Lord, help us to seek to have our candle lit, that we might have understanding here in our time. Because you know what? We're all affected. I think we're all affected to some degree or another. You know, I've heard over and over the last 2 to 3 years, I have heard people that were steady against some of these things in the world finally saying, I'm tired of hearing it. I'm for just letting people do whatever they want to do. I'm not so sure I'm ready to just say I'm ready to say that everybody ought to just destroy themselves. I'm not saying I'm at the place that there ought to just be a riot that everybody shoots each other down. I'm not to the place that I think that they ought to deteriorate inside like they're doing. But I'm still wanting to see the Lord light their candle. God will enlighten my darkness. I want to look at a passage over in 5th chapter of Mark. Oh, let's see. Oh, I'm going to go back to... Well, I'll read a little bit of this. So 5 and 1 of Mark. It says, and they came unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And chains had been plucked asunder by him, and fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for there are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter unto them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into a swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it, told them how, and they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed that he might be with him. Now here was a scene. Jesus goes over the land of the Gadarenes, and there was a man there that possessed no common sense. He possessed no ability. You ever run into somebody like that that you'd think, well, I'll give him a real practical bit of common sense, and it doesn't do any good? You ever try to calm down somebody that was so angry with common sense? Well, this man was possessed, but it sounded like no man could tame him. No man could just come up to him and say, this doesn't make sense to live up here in this cave. Why don't you stop acting like this? You know, there was no ability to deal with that at all. And you know, that's kind of the way the world seems to me like it's getting. It doesn't seem like that. It doesn't seem like that you can just present a God-given, age-proven, ancient truth that matters. It don't care. It don't make no difference. Jesus came and dealt with this man, and nobody else could do it. I don't know how we got there, and the scripture doesn't say, so I have no way of knowing how this man got there. He was in a land of idolatry. He was in a land of witchcraft and those kind of things. And he gave himself over to him. Or for whatever reason, the man ends up in a sorry position like this. And along comes Jesus and comes and deals with the man and lights his candle. Isn't this a beautiful passage of a man with no hope, that's in total darkness and completely non-functional to human relationship, to human culture? He's in a tomb cutting himself and acting like the devil's that was in him. He was an animal. He was naked. He couldn't be presented. He couldn't be bound. He growled. He snarled. He bit. Darkness. Hopeless. And Jesus lit his candle, gave him something, and brought him back to normal. And it said of this passage that Jesus has golden gifts for men. Jesus went to the land of Gadarenes with his satchel, if you want to call it that way, full of golden gifts for men, wanting to enlighten their lives, wanting to teach them how to live life better, and how to have relationships with meaningful things in life, beautiful things that make men's life happy and fulfilled in life. All those kind of things. How not to steal from one another. It doesn't benefit you from stealing from one another, taking from one another, wanting to harm and hurt one another. It doesn't benefit you that way. I'll give you something better. And he lights the candle. And he gives golden gifts to men. And he went to the land of the Gadarenes to give golden gifts, says the Lord. Jesus not been in our country? Has he not desired to give golden gifts to men? He desires to give you today golden gifts of understandings, and not just of common sense, but of deeper things and understandings of how things work. Mainly, I don't need to know how really nuclear fusion works. I doubt if I'd ever use it in my life, to be honest with you. But it sure would help me to understand myself a little bit and know why I respond the way I do, and more than just understanding, because if I did understand, I don't know if I could do anything about it. I need my candle lit. I need the Lord to give me the grace and the ability to overcome the things about my own self, because I was born in sin, and because I was raised in iniquity, and because I have scars of my own life, and learn how to manipulate and work and deal with things to satisfy my own self. Some of those habits have to be broke. And I need the Lord to help me be able to do it. And some of them will go with us through our lifetime, and the Lord will give us the ability to help us and challenge us and keep us out of that kind of way. And it helps me not to fly the door open in the middle of the street and jump out and go attack somebody in the street. And it helps me to learn to have patience with people and those kind of things. Pulled out at Webb City, Missouri. I pulled into there where the chapel's at, and there's a right pull, and there's a lanes come up there, and there was a woman come out of the Conoco, I think it is. She comes out of there, and there's two lanes that go, you got to turn to the right. She turned to the right, and there's two lanes. One of them will turn you back one way and one the other. She gets out there, and instead of going in those two lanes, she comes right over into mine. Mine's going this way, and she pulls over there, and here she comes right out into that lane, and she looks and sees what she's doing. Now, every time I do that, I usually get a mouthful of somebody saying something about what an idiot you can see on their mouth. Idiot! And they say some gestures and do some things, and I'm saying like this. Well, this woman pulls out there and into my lane, and I start slowing down real quick, and she sees what she does. She pulls over, and she's kind of like, oh! And I'm trying my best to show her the emotions. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. You know why? Because I've done that so many times and had people do that, and I wanted her to know that it's okay. We make mistakes. I've got my candle lit. Because I ain't always acted that way. I ain't always been that way. Lord, help me. The Lord came to the land of Gadarenes to give these people, these swine herders, these people of idolatry and these people of witchcraft and the people that didn't know better, that was killing themselves, He come to give them golden gifts and light their candle that they could be made better. And you know what they said of the Lord? We don't want you here. Now, honestly, I know this is still what would be called a semi-religious world, semi-religious country, but in it more and more, don't you get the impression more and more that the people of the United States are saying, Jesus, we don't want you? Now, you have to understand, God is a generic term in a sense. God means whatever God you want a God to mean. God doesn't have so much definition when you just say God. Now, when the devils come to Jesus, they made a distinction with what God. They said the Son of the Most High God. They recognized God Almighty in this. But you know, our world more and more are willing to say, the president will say, God bless you. Senators will say when they're running for office, God bless you. God bless you. But you know, the word that Jesus carries with it, the whole weight of the gospel message. It carries the whole weight of the penalties for not performing. It carries the whole idea of what the performance of life has to be, because Jesus come and teaching those things. And so when you name Jesus, it seems to me like more and more He's left out. More and more people are willing to say, we want you to leave our coast. We don't want your golden gifts. Now, I want you to look at what a miracle was performed. There was a man there that surely they feared this guy. Well, I'm going to tell you this. If this guy was up on the mountain back here in a cave, just off Green Bank right here, I know for a fact that more times than I'd ever be able to count that my wife would be worried about this character coming down. because I know my wife. And I also know Sister Billie Jean well enough to know that if he was back there, that she would have more than enough concerns about someday he's going to come off the mountain down there. And to be honest with you, there'd be nights that I would lay and not admit, because macho men, I admit that what happens if this guy comes off the mountain down here? So I know these people had to have been concerned that this is a lunatic and he might come down and eat our children or do any. They had to be concerned about that. But yet, think about it. Think about our country today. Think about what's going on. You had a young black guy, the deal out there, and he gets shot by the police officer. There's a better way to live. Living like that, but yet let's get rid of Jesus. Now Jesus concerns me. Not the fact that people are giving themselves over to such. Do you know that this has made the scene, but the fact of it is, Chicago, Detroit, all these places are havens for murders every night. There is multiple murders. They're killing each other all the time. People are scared all the time. But when Jesus comes, get rid of Jesus. This guy, all of a sudden, is setting and they come and look. We couldn't even hold him with chains. We couldn't talk to him. We couldn't tame him. We couldn't do anything with this guy. And he's sitting here at Jesus' feet. He's got his clothes on. He's shaved. His hair is cut. He's cleaned up. That's my vision. He's sitting here. And you could say something to him and he'd answer you. He has real feelings and humanity back in him. Let's get rid of Jesus. We surely wouldn't want our neighbors to be peaceful. We surely wouldn't want things to go smoothly. We surely wouldn't want to have a good. Why? You know, there's a darkness. It's a darkness because the Scripture says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. If Jesus comes into the community, the stealing would stop. If he lights your candle, the drug use would stop. You wouldn't need it any longer. Making money off of it would have to end. All those things, Jesus would make a difference in people's lives. They actually said to Jesus, "We're more afraid of you than we are the lunatic. Get out of here. You will so change our life that we can't afford to have you here." Now, Lord, help us today. We can't do nothing about the world, but folks, what about us? You know, there is degrees. I don't think anybody's going to run off and caves cutting ourselves. But you know, there's still levels of not being able to really, because of who we are, to be able to be real functional. You know, honestly, I find along as darkness comes that people get less thick-skinned about. So, you know, things is going to happen. Toughen up. Come on. Toughen up. You know, somebody might say something against you. Oh, what if somebody says they don't like me? Well, that's devastating. Come on. Grow up. Get bigger than that. Lord, help us. Lord, light your candle till you know who you are. You know, the worst thing is if you know who you are and you're confident in your relationship with the Lord and who you are, those things will just go over. It won't matter. I'm assuming that people ain't going to like me. I don't like me. So I can't blame them. I don't really don't like me much. So why blame them? But you know, really, Lord, light our candle. Give us the grace to be able to deal with the things that are around us in the world that we have. Jesus left the land of the Gadarenes. That's sad. But you know, he left a man there. He still cared. He left. This man said, "I want to go with you." And he said, "You don't need to. When I light your candle, I can light it till it'll stay." I want to look at another scripture over in Matthew 21. The 21st chapter of Matthew says, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" Now, I want to back up into Jesus a little bit here. Jesus had already performed many miracles by this point. He had healed the blind, he had healed the lame, fed the 5,000, turned water to wine. Jesus had an active ministry that anyone that wanted to look and see that would have seen more than enough miracles to have convinced them that this was the Son of God. But you know what? There really isn't enough miracles to be performed to show people that don't want to believe. You know, I know that the Lord's going to convince everybody one of these days that He's God. But as far as this earth goes, you know, He's more than likely going to let us go our route. This country is going to go its route. And it ain't going to make that much difference. But this guy, these people are saying, now after all this that they could have been convinced and said, there's something special here. Said, by what authority does He do these things? And who gave ye this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? Then they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, He will say unto us, why did ye not then believe Him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. Was these men really concerned about the truth? What should they have said? In accuracy, they could have said what they did say. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. That's a lie. They should have said, we will not tell. They should have said, we cannot tell. They got together and had to talk all through these things because they didn't want to say who He was. We cannot tell. And He said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. And you know what that meant? It meant He wasn't going to light their candle. If God don't come and deal with us, we'll never be lit. If God doesn't come and show us our shortcomings, we'll have shortcomings. What this meant to these people is that they had the opportunity to recognize that He was Jesus. All they had to do was be honest and they could have recognized it. Now they're there talking to Him face to face. All they had to do was acknowledge and the Lord would have lit their candle. They wasn't interested in having their candle lit. They wasn't interested in understanding. They was interested in debate. They was interested in trying to get the upper hand on Him. They couldn't do it, obviously. Which is it then? You believe John? John come teaching it, but if they would have said, yes, John was of God, then it had to said, well then, I'm the one He talked about. He said He was a forerunner. I'm here. You want your candle lit? You want something better than this Pharisaical? Listen, this was not, they had power and authority, but they had nothing else. You think these people really had peace inside them? You think they had grace to overcome things? You think their families was well? You think all that just did nothing for them? Jesus had the answer to them, and by those words, they forever settled their eternal destiny. We cannot tell. And Jesus said, then I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to light your candle. I'm not going to tell you it means information. I'm not going to tell you. You know, the Lord, after this, you know there could come a time the Lord says, I'm not going to tell you. That's fearful. Lord, help us. Light our candles. Help us to have the vision. Help us to see who we are. Help us to have the sense of well-being, the hope, the peace that you come to give us, the golden gifts, the golden nuggets that you brought. Help us to have the good things of life. As much as can be afforded us, Lord, give us grace for our situations. I think that's one of the greatest of the golden nuggets. And this is why I say, Lord, you always want to say, well, Lord, fix my circumstances. There's always one circumstance after another. Instead of saying, fix the circumstance, why not say, Lord, fix me. Fix me to the circumstance. Because if you fix me, then it don't matter what circumstance comes. I may have to deal with this today. Well, fix that circumstance. So the Lord removes it. And then tomorrow, here comes another one. And we'll remove that one, remove that. Why not fix me? Why not fix me? Oh, sometimes I look at the world around us and say, not that I'm anybody, but I just say sometimes, man, but I like to be able to speak to this. I like to be able to give them the counsel of God on this. We're our worst enemies. And the people of our country, Lord, help us. Lord, help them. I look at that and say, you don't know. You really don't know. You cannot see afar off. You have no idea about what you're doing day and today and what the results of that's going to be tomorrow. You don't know the results of one little thing that happens today. You don't know what the result. Nobody really can say what the results of. I think it was Virginia actually that had their ban overturned just here recently over there. Had their ban. The people vote on it. The ban's made. But then the judges overturned the ban. Now here it goes again. But you know they'll never know what this is. We haven't lived it long enough to see what we've bit into. We've not got into it long enough to know what legalizing marijuana is going to do. We don't know what legalizing drugs is going to do. We don't know we don't know yet. But I'm going to say in all of it, and I'm not wise enough to know all of it, but that is the definition of wisdom, to be able to see the result of an action when the result hasn't come yet. That's wisdom. Lord, give us wisdom to know that anything outside of God. I'm going to ask you this. Why do you think so many people want to ban the Ten Commandments? What's so bad about them? I mean, you can read them. What's so bad that they just can't stand them? It's because darkness is pervading, and here is a glimmer of light. Thou shalt have no other God before me. That hurts. Because this world's full of gods. These people did what the land of the Gadarenes did, just in closing. They said, we don't want you. We don't want you. We're not going to tell you. We can't tell. Then I'm not going to tell you either. I'm not going to enlighten you. My desire is that the Lord would light our candles. And, you know, we can be a great fire all put together. But each one of us individually needs to make sure that we're lit and burning. And that the Lord has given us that golden gifts that He wants us to have of grace, of patience, of quality of life. Lord, help me. Amen.